the fourth chapter where we were this morning. We'll read a couple passage verses there. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll give a little bit of an introduction. I'll kind of repeat some of the things I said this morning, actually. Ephesians 4. I don't need all this. And let me begin reading in verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, why did God give these men to be as a gift to the church? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness with whereby they lay in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Father, as we think about this text and the other verses that we read this morning and reread these again, Lord, help us to realize that we are to be growing in the Lord. And as we sit here this evening and as we review a little bit and give a few more thoughts, may every person, and myself included, do a good, honest inventory of our spiritual life, and so that we can see or determine if we're going forward or if we're going backward. Now, it's your perfect will that we go forward, and I think everybody here would agree with that, and I know you would. So, Lord, I pray tonight that that would be our desire, that would be our passion, that we go forward for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in verses 14 through 16 this morning, we noticed that the first thing that Paul mentioned was that spiritual growth of the believer is the primary work of gifted men to the church. For the purpose of spiritual growth, that's why God gave them. Now, to lead people into a growing relationship with Christ. I mentioned this morning, verse 12 uses the phrase the perfecting of the saints, that is building them up. Unity in verse 13 has to do with attaining. Verse 15 says growing up in all aspects of him. Verse 16 said the proper work of each part causes the growth of the entire body. And of course, God is interested in the entire body, the church, growing in the Lord. Also remember this morning I mentioned this. As a pastor, we are interested in two kinds of growth in the church. We are interested in numerical growth, that's true, but we are also interested in spiritual growth among the people that are in the church. And we need both. We always want to get new blood and build the kingdom of God. And we don't want to build our own little kingdom. We want to build the kingdom of God. And so then I said you are either growing in Christ's likeness or you are going in the other direction, that is, you are backsliding. So God gave gifted men. The second thing I mentioned was that you need to come to church with an open heart and with open ears, and you need to maintain a teachable spirit. So there are gifted men, but there also must be teachable people. The primary purpose for us to be growing is that our lives can bring glory to God, but also our spiritual growth, we mentioned, is also our protection. You'll notice in verse 14 here where we read that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. God wants us in church all the time under a sound Bible church with good Bible doctrine so we are mature enough that where we can recognize right from wrong that we're not children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. And then I mentioned a few things about how can we then, thirdly, evaluate how you and I know that we are growing in the Lord. Then I asked you to get out a pencil and paper. And I said, write these things down. And we had one caption over the top of everything. And I began to make several points, and I stopped after the third one. Now, I said, this was the caption, and then I'll repeat the first three, and then we'll start with some new material. We said, we know we are going and growing in Christ when we are, first of all, becoming increasingly aware of our sinfulness and our weaknesses. The more mature a believer gets, the more he is aware of his sinfulness and his weaknesses. Of course, we talked about that quite a bit. The second thing we said was very similar to the first thing, but it added a little bit to it. Secondly, we know we are growing in our relationship with Christ when our response to sin is quick, and it is followed by genuine repentance. And we looked at Proverbs 28:13. He that covers a sin will not prosper, but we are to confess them, and we are to forsake them. So we are to be quick in dealing with our sin. Thirdly, we said we know that we are growing when our spiritual battles are becoming more fierce, and yet we still rejoice. We still have peace. We still have the love of God. And we are to be instant in season and out of season. Now let me begin with some new material tonight. Number four, we know our relationship with the Lord is growing, and I hope you get this, when we see trials and temptations as opportunity for growth. When God brings a trial or a temptation into our life, that is an opportunity for us to grow spiritually. Now, some people, their normal response is to complain. Oh, God, why have you allowed this thing to happen? Why is this happening? Why me? Why now? Why not you? Why not now? We are growing when we see these hardships and these difficulties in our lives as an opportunity for spiritual growth. These things ought to make us better Christians. Now, if you want to meet what I call a real saint, somebody who has great faith, someone who can stand the battles of life, show me somebody who has been tried and who has been tempted and who has been tested and who has been beaten upon every way possible, and I'll show you somebody who has come through the difficulties and hardships of life that make us strong and mighty in spirit, because that's why God allows them into our life. But you find somebody who wants to live the Christian life and have everything go their way, have all the money they want and have all the resources that they want, all the ease, all the comfort, all the pleasures, good health, no burdens, no conflicts, just floating along on their way to heaven. I want to tell you something. Heaven's not filled with floaters. It's filled with warriors who have been through the warfare of battles. We sang the song this morning, we are soldiers of the cross. We're not floaters just floating around looking for ease. We are to be soldiers of the cross. When hardships come, our first response ought to be this. God, what are you trying to show me? Lord, what are you trying to teach me? It ought not to be, woe is me. Have some kind of a pity party or whatever. Now, some people are like, I don't like warfare. How do you say that? Warfare, that's it. We don't like wars. We don't like warfare. But you know what we should like? The results. During those times, God strengthens us and deepens us and enriches our lives. And he grows our faith. Your faith will grow more in the hardships than it will in the ease. So if we are going to grow in him, we see these trials and these temptations as opportunity for growth. We don't see them as an opportunity to complain and to have a pity party. These are opportunities for spiritual growth. Fifthly, and I'll keep saying it every time perhaps, but you don't need to write it every time. We know our relationship with the Lord is growing when we begin to view service as a high honor and not as a burden. I want you to look back at Psalm 84 in verse 10. Now, I said that service is a high honor. Service is not a burden. Look what the psalmist wrote here. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Now, when people get up on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening or whenever, and they say something like, well, I guess I got to go to church. Or they say something like, well, I better prepare my lesson. I got to teach. I got to lead this group. I got to sing in a choir. I've got to. Something's wrong. Something is wrong. Let me say something. You ought to thank God that you are saved. I mean, you ought to be really thankful that God chose to save you. And you ought to thank God that you have the wonderful privilege of serving Jesus Christ. Not everybody has that privilege. Lost people can't serve God unless God in His sovereign will has a purpose for it. Now, I know I'm growing if I count every, even the difficult times of service as a high honor for the Lord. And I don't complain about it. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Does that mean you don't sometimes feel the weight and hardship of it all? Not necessarily. But it does mean ultimately that you count it an honor. And the burdens and the hardships that go with that service are okay. It's okay because the Lord is worthy of our service and worthy of our honor. Service, you need to see it as a high honor, as a high privilege, as something that, wow, I get to go to church. I get to serve. I get to sing in the choir. I get to play a musical instrument. I get to go soul winning. I get to teach Sunday school. Praise God, I get to do those things. I get to teach. I get to preach. Sixthly, we know we're growing in the Lord when we view the things that come our way as being from God. Now, that is very important to spiritual growth because here's what it means. I see all the good things in my life as coming from God. But ready? I see all the bad things in my life as coming from God also. Unless I do something stupid, then it's my own fault. But many good things happen to us. But sometimes bad things happen to us. We read Romans 8:28 this morning. We know that all things work together for good, but it doesn't say all things are good things. It says all things work together for good. Evil things happen. Evil things happen to good people. We kind of become victims in certain things, persecutions, hardships, trials. But when I see these things as coming from God, you know what I know? I know I'm growing. Now, this is a key to walking victoriously instead of ending up bitter and resentful and hostile and angry and ultimately no longer being used of the Lord. The key to walking victoriously and triumphantly is simply that you look at every single thing that happens is coming from God. You say, this can't possibly be coming from God. Why not? Why can't it? What did Paul have a thorn in the flesh? Do you remember the sermon on 2 Corinthians in this text? Who did it come from? God. And who did God use? You already answered this. Who did God use to, in Paul's life to bring it? A messenger of Satan. You say, well, that couldn't have been God's will. It was God's will. It was. So when we say all things that are happening to us are turning out for my good and for God's glory, we know we're growing in the Lord. I know I'm growing in Him when I see everything coming from Him. Number 7, we know we are growing in our relationship with Him when we sense that our faith is growing stronger. It is shocking to me. This is how far I was supposed to get this morning, by the way, but I didn't make it. It is shocking to me to see some people that have been saved for several years and how weak their faith is. It's somewhat disappointing. I don't understand it. You know, it's one thing to be saved 6 months and have a weak faith. It's another thing to be saved 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years and still have a weak faith. You know what happened in there? You didn't grow. You didn't grow. And you say, well, that's not nice. No, it's probably not nice, but it's still probably true. You didn't grow like you should have grown. When it takes more and more to ruffle your feathers, when you've learned, we mentioned this on a Wednesday night recently, talking about love, charitable living. When you're more patient with people, when it takes more and more to ruffle you, when things that used to bother you and bother us, they don't bother us anymore, we know we're growing in the Lord. When deaths come our way, we can face them confidently and boldly. But 6 months or a year ago, we could not have faced those kind of trials. We know we're growing in the Lord. When our faith level rises and we are getting stronger in our faith, we can trust Him for more, in more, and in the midst of more. We can. We are able to rest in Him. We are able to talk to Him with confidence and boldness, with the assurance that He has everything under control. Now listen, I did not like the way the election went for the state of New York Tuesday evening. In fact, when I woke up Wednesday morning, I was just miserable. I was not in a, my wife probably testified to that. You don't have to ask her to do that, but she probably would. I was not happy. I was ticked off, if you want to know the truth. I'm not a happy camper at all. But you know what? I finally come to my senses after a little while of whining. And I realize God's still in control. It's obviously I'm not, because the people that won wouldn't have won. Have you noticed how many people you voted for that didn't win? Just about everybody that I voted for did not win. That's rather amazing. When you go all the way across there and like you're 0-4 however many it was. But that's the way it was. I felt like, man, we really took it on the chin Tuesday night. But you know what? They did not God down off the throne. God is still on the throne. So we're not going to fret. We're not going to fume over it, over things we used to fret and fume over. By the way, I'm being sarcastic like Paul was. I didn't need to go buy a crayon box and crayons Wednesday morning. I didn't have to have somebody bring a puppy into the school so I could be comforted, you know, through the whole thing. We didn't have to do all that. I say that because, you know, the last election, those things actually happened the last election in colleges with professors. Somebody was telling us that they had one of their professors was down on the floor kicking and hitting the floor like a 3-year-old baby. Not one of the students, they did that too, but this actually was a professor. Now that's a sad story right there. Now, we know that God is in control. We know that God is sovereign. We know that God has a schedule. And our life is actually based upon what he is doing and not what we are doing for ourselves. So we sense our faith is growing. Our trust is growing. God, I don't understand why things went the way they went, but you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I'm going to trust you. When my first wife had cancer, and the doctor came in and told me, and he was saying, because I didn't respond in a negative way. I didn't lose it. I didn't have much emotion at all. Not positive, not negative, just not much at all. I just sat there talking to him. Finally, he says to me, do you know something I don't know? I've actually had this happen a few times in my life. I says, no, I know somebody. I says, I know God. And I know that God is in control. Now, that's faith. That's trust. But he was telling me, Dr. Dameron, he was telling me when he tells people the news that one of their spouses or their children has some kind of a terminal illness or something like that, he said they just freak out. They start crying. They start cursing out him. It's not his fault they got it. They curse him out and all kinds of things that go on. But we're Christians. Where's our faith? Where's our trust? Where's our confidence? See, we have to grow to the place that our faith gets stronger. Number 8, when we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship, we know that our faith is growing. If we really love the Lord, we are going to want to praise him. When you are in love with somebody, you want to tell that person. Don't you think God deserves a little bit of every once in a while? Lord, I love you. Lord, I desire to worship you. Lord, I adore you. There is no one like you. You're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my all in all. You're my Christ. You're the Messiah. Doesn't God deserve a little of that? Well, one of the ways I know I'm growing is that I want to do that. Like, you know, when you come to church and they say, let's stand and sing whatever it is, 259, to God be the glory. And you want to stand and you want to sing that song because, praise God, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. That's what you want to do. And when you want to do those things, when you want to praise him and love him and express that, that you want to just put your arms around him and hug him close and tell him that you love him and thank him for all the good things he sends in your life and even the bad, because he's so sovereign, he can turn them into something good anyway. We already know Romans 8:28. We know we're growing in him. We want to praise him and worship him more. There is a loving intimacy beyond anything that's earthly. The closest thing to it is the husband and wife relationship. But that isn't as close as the intimate relationship that a person can have with Jesus Christ, who is living inside of us and can love us and be loved by us no matter what's going on, no matter where we are. Now, I know I'm growing in the Lord when I really want to spend time praising him and worshiping him, whether it be in song or prayer or just talking to him while I'm driving down the street or whatever. I just want to set time aside to do this. That's your attitude? I mean, really, is that what you want to do? Or do you get in your car and turn on, when you turn the radio on, you listen to something else all the time? I listen to the news. I get the news out of Syracuse, 57. That's the AM channel. And then I listen to ESPN, usually a little bit in the morning to catch the scores, but they're so foolish with their nonsense, they don't give them half the time anyway, so I skip it. What do you put on? Why don't you just, we listen to the Christian radio most of the time, but why don't you just sometimes shut it off and just praise God? Amen. Thank the Lord and pray to him. Number 9, or whatever it is. When our desire to obey him is becoming more intense and sin is less and less attractive to us, we know we are growing in the Lord. Now that is a basic, solid, foundational evidence that you and I are growing in our relationship to Christ. When we have a desire to obey him, it's more intense. Sin is less attractive, less and less attractive. The intensity with which we feel this desire to be obedient to him, to follow him, to do what he wants us to do, no less, no more, tells us how we have grown. Now, the appeal of the world for a believer, it gets less and less. The desire to be obedient to him becomes stronger and stronger. Now, if you're having problems with the attractions of the world and a desire to participate in the things of the world, I can't say this nicely, but there is something wrong with your Christian walk. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. When you get a good glimpse of Jesus, there is nothing in the world that compares to him. This morning, Brother Dick mentioned Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah got a glimpse of the Lord, remember what he said? Holy, holy, holy. 3 times. Now, that's what a glimpse of Christ does to us. If you don't have Christ, there is something missing. Christ is what life is all about. He makes life worth the living. If the world is less attractive, and my desire to be obedient to him is increasing, it's a good sign, it's a real good sign, that I'm growing in the Lord. My desire to obey increases, sin is less attractive. Number 10, we know we're growing in the Lord when we are eager to share with others what Christ is doing in our life. Don't you want to tell somebody once in a while what the Lord is doing in your life? Ask yourself this question. Is God doing anything in my life? What's he doing in my life? What areas in my life, never mind, don't look around at your friend. What areas in my life is God growing me? You see, this is a personal relationship. I'm not talking about super miracles necessarily. We talked about that the last couple of weeks. But if we're growing, something fresh is going on. Something that we can talk about. Some opportunity that God just, you know, did something awesome. And it might not even have been a big giant thing. I had a day I mentioned this morning a couple of weeks ago where I had all these little things happen throughout the day. And it was so precious. The Lord was so near all day long. I'm not talking about one of these fellows who goes around saying, let me tell you about Jesus all the time. Now, some of that stuff is a lot of huff and puff anyway. But genuine experiences with Jesus Christ, and you just want to talk about them. You see, if you're growing, you'll want to share what Jesus is doing for you. So how are you doing there? Number 11. We know we're growing in the Lord when we are experiencing an increasing awareness of his presence in our lives. He said, you are abiding in me, and I in you. We are indwelt with the very presence of Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. We know we are growing when we become more aware of his presence. Not just when we are praying, not just when we're reading our Bible, not when we're at church, but we're more aware of his presence when we're at work, and we're at school, and we're around our friends, and when we are alone, and we're traveling, then we are very aware of his presence in all of the areas of our life. Then we're growing in the Lord. No matter what, you are more aware that you are under the umbrella of Christ. standing on the rock of our salvation, immersed in Him. You are aware of His presence everywhere you go in your life. And when you are, you know you're growing in the Lord. The Spirit of God, one of the three persons of the Trinity, is inside you. He's living out through you the very life of Christ, and you sense His presence. You know His presence. So ask yourself this question. What has to go on in your life to make you aware of Christ? You know what should have to go on in your life to make you aware of Christ? This is a loaded question. Nothing. Not a thing. You should be aware of His presence all the time in your life. Do you think about Him in the morning? Do you think about Him at bed when you go to sleep? You should be no more aware of Christ sitting in your pew right here tonight than you are on your job. You are to be constantly aware of Him. Now, if you'll ask Him, He will teach you how to live in this ever-growing, increasing awareness that you are walking in His presence. So what does this have to do with my spiritual growth? Well, the more I am aware of Christ, the less sin I will tolerate, the less appeal the world is going to have, and the more sensitive I will be to His abiding and leadership. I'll be more obedient to Him. 12thly, we know we're growing in our relationship to Christ when we jealously guard our private time of prayer and Bible reading. In other words, our devotional life has a priority. A person who can go a week or 2 weeks or whatever, not read the Bible, not offer up any simple little prayers or whatever, that isn't a growing relationship with the Lord. You should desire to be in the Word of God. You should desire to have a prayer life. I know I'm growing when I jealously guard my time in His Word. I want to read the Scriptures, know what He has got to say, to be convicted of sin, aware of my failures, of how He works and operates in His ways. When somebody says they quit reading God's Word because they can't understand it, then they're not growing in Christ, and their spiritual life isn't going to go anywhere. He said to Peter, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You can't grow with a closed Bible. You just can't. It doesn't work that way. And I don't care if you're got 20 degrees from a Bible college and seminary and all that stuff somewhere, it won't matter. If you are not in the Word of God, you're not going to grow. We grow in our relationship with Him as we open up His book and feast upon and meditate upon the Word of God. Now, I want you to think. If you have no real desire to read the Bible, and you have no desire to understand the Bible, and you have no desire to follow the Bible, you are not growing in your relationship to Christ. You're just not. And I don't care what if you teach or what you teach or what you give or what you do. If you and I do not have a desire for the Word of God, if we do not have a desire to know His ways, we're not growing in our spiritual life. We're not. And if we're not going forward, then we must be going backwards. We're backsliding. Somebody said, the entrance of thy word giveth light. Light unto what? Light into the ways and mind and in the heart of God. If I'm going to develop a relationship with somebody, I've got to get to know them. And the way to know God is through His Word. And the more Word I know, the more intimately I know God. So, am I growing in the Lord? I know I'm growing when. I'm going to read all 12 of these to you. And I want you to think about your own life. And I want you to meditate on these things for a moment. And I want you to think about if you're growing in the Lord. Number one, we become increasingly aware of our sinfulness and our weaknesses. Are you conscious of that? Or does sin just like, it ain't that big of a deal. Everybody sins, Pastor. What's the big deal? The big deal is God is holy, 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 and He doesn't want us to sin. Secondly, our response to sin is quick, and it's followed by genuine repentance. We confess it, and we want to forsake it. That's what Proverbs says. Thirdly, our spiritual battles are becoming more fierce, but I still rejoice. I still have peace. Fourthly, we see trials and temptations as opportunities for growth, because that's what they are. We view service as a high honor. It's not a burden to serve God. It's a privilege. We view the things that come our way as being from God, both good and bad. Seventhly, when we sense that our faith is growing stronger, we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship. Our desire to obey him is becoming more intense and sin is less and less attractive to us. Let me go back to 8. I said we desire to spend more time in genuine praise and worship. Did you know we have praise and worship every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night? Just thought I'd remind you that. What a wonderful opportunity to praise and worship the Lord in the house of God with the saints of God. Ninthly, our desire to obey him is becoming more intense. Sin is less and less attractive to us. You know, there were things that I did as a lost person. They don't even have an ounce of temptation whatsoever. They have no attraction to me at all. None. That's supposed to be normal. You say, no, Pastor, that's just you. No, I don't think that's just me. That's supposed to be everybody. That's supposed to be me and you and all you and all you. It's supposed to be all of us. Sin becomes less and less attractive. Tenthly, we're eager to share with others what Christ is doing in our life. Sometimes we just bubble over and we say, let me tell you what the Lord did. Eleventhly, we're experiencing an increasing awareness of his presence in our lives. Are you aware that the Lord is with you every place you go? 12th, we jealously guard our private time of prayer and Bible reading because it's a priority. So let me ask you, this is a 12-question test. How'd you do on the test? How'd you do? Are you growing in the Lord? Do you see yourself as you sit in the pew at a little bit before 7 o'clock on a Sunday evening at Friendship Baptist Church, today is the 11th of November, do you see yourself as growing in the Lord? Or do you see yourself as stagnant, not going anywhere, not moving forward for the glory of God, not really seeing church services as all that big of a deal? I don't really desire to worship God and to praise God. That's just not me. It ought to be you. If it's not you, there's a spiritual problem in your life. Well, you know, I don't know. I serving the Lord, you know, giving up and sacrificing my time to do that, I don't know. It's an honor. It's a privilege. I mean, it is. Anyway, how are we doing on the test? Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed.